On September 11th, 2001, emergency room physician Dr. Antonio Daher reported for his shift at what's now called New York Presbyterian Lower Manhattan Hospital, five blocks from Ground Zero, of course, for millions of us, the dreadful images of the burning and collapsing Twin Towers back on 9/11/01 are engraved in our memories. Dr. Daher was just five blocks away from the falling World Trade Center. With scant moments to prepare, hundreds of wounded victims are flooding into your workspace, and you're in charge of their care.
Clogged roads and jammed radios prevented ambulances getting to most of the city's hospitals. However, there was one tiny community hospital, the closest to the Twin Towers, called Downtown. It was soon in the thick of the action, and unexpectedly became the epicenter of the medical emergency.
You have a sense of what your hospital's capacity is, or how many patients you can see an hour. And this was light speed. This was warp speed for everybody.
That was a short clip from a UK Channel 4 documentary on 9/11 produced 10 years after the tragedy. The man you just heard describing that hospital scene is our first guest. Dr. Tony Daher is the director of emergency medicine at New York Presbyterian Lower Manhattan Hospital, and he is in our studio today. He's the keynote speaker at the Sparrow Foundation's annual Kaleidoscope Conference at the Kellogg Center at MSU. Dr. Daher, welcome to Current State.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
How many patients did you treat on 9/11?
I think overall that day we treated over 1,000. In the first hour in the emergency department, somewhere around 300.
And how long did your team continue to treat them?
We stayed overnight. We went down to the site that evening to help as well, right at the World Trade Center.
What types of injuries did your patients have?
The first patients we got were victims of severe burns and falling debris. When the towers were hit, as you might imagine, a lot of building material came off them and struck pedestrians below. So a lot of very bad head injuries. The jet fuel, in a very bizarre way, because of where the plane hit the first tower, the fuel went down the elevator shafts and all the way to the floor lobby and blew out the doors there and burned people very severely in the lobby.
Did you have any sense of your patient's survival rate?
Yes, we tracked all our cases. It depends. Of our critically injured patients, those who were expected to survive based on their initial injuries, almost all did. One or two that we weren't sure would make it, of those, one did not, and one did.
Did you have any level of disaster response training prior to 9/11?
So in 1993, we also received hundreds of casualties with the first bombing of the North Tower, which resulted in six deaths at the tower, but hundreds of injuries and hundreds of smoke inhalation cases. So they all came to us. And after 1993, we were pretty diligent about training for disasters and organizing our Code Yellow, we called it, our disaster response mechanisms. So as it turns out, we had a disaster drill July 30th of 2001, so just 6 weeks before the towers were hit.
We're talking with Dr. Tony Daher. He's the chair of the Department of Emergency Medicine at New York's Presbyterian Lower Manhattan Hospital. That facility is five blocks from where the World Trade Center once stood. He and his team triaged hundreds of victims back on 9/11/01. I have to ask you about the 14 years since then. How have you come to view that day and this chapter from a distance of 14 years?
It's a great question. I think, part of it, in preparing for my talk today at Sparrow, at the Sparrow Foundation, I was talking to some of the folks who were still at the hospital, who were with me on that day. And in many cases, it's obviously hard to talk about. And they'll talk to me because we all shared it. But most of them would say, I haven't spoken about it in years. And it creates a camaraderie and a trust in each other, obviously, that persists 14 years later. We all know that everybody rose to the occasion on that day and still would, as would anyone, I think. I think what 9/11 proved to me was that people will rise to any occasion. and certainly our staff did. But, you know, you try to avoid being too philosophical and thinking about the state of the world and what could have been. I think that for me, the most powerful after feeling in New York City was how tender everyone was with each other, how caring we were with everybody around us. And this is a lot of hard-bitten New Yorkers who generally ignore each other.
Had you been in New York City for long at that point? Well, you were there in 93, so you go back that far.
Yeah, I was born there. Not always raised there, but went to medical school there and have lived there ever since.
What do you have a lasting image or two from that day?
Probably the most powerful image is when we first got our patients, that we heard the plane had hit. We knew it was an airliner. One of our paramedics had gone right to the scene, so we knew it wasn't a small tourist plane or something like that. So we knew it was going to be bad. We scrambled to get all the supplies together, rushing around. We knew we had 5 or 10 minutes at most. And then there was a strange pause where we waited for people to come in. We were at the ambulance bay, and for about 30 seconds, nothing was happening. And we looked at each other thinking, man, false alarm. And suddenly a wave of people came around the corner. So the time it took people to run those 5 blocks from the towers to our hospital, they came in a wave. It was a tidal wave of people. And I suddenly thought, now what do I do?
Mm. What worked well that day? What didn't work well that day?
I think what worked very well was, being a small hospital, we all knew each other. So it was very easy to, not easy, but certainly very doable to all coordinate and know who was in charge, who was managing what. Specifically, when I saw that tidal wave of people, I had a large group of young residents and interns with me, and I immediately started assigning them a patient each. As every patient came in, you're supposed to tie tags around their necks and take your time, and there was no time for that. So I just would grab a young doctor, attach them to a patient, tell them to go back and find the proper treatment area for the patient, and then circulate back. So it was matching the people that I had to the people that were coming in worked very well. What I think was very difficult on 9/11 was the coordination on a city level. The command center was taken out when the North Tower went down. The city very unwisely had put its Office of Emergency Management headquarters, after the 1993 bombing, they put the headquarters across the street from the North Tower. And that was destroyed in the bombing as well. So the city was leaderless. So a lot of people were trying to set up triage areas and medical treatment areas in our vicinity when we had a fully functioning hospital. Mm. I don't think any harm came of it, but it was not well coordinated.
You're in Lansing today to open up about this experience and talk about it. What has become your routine for September 11th as it rolls around every year? Is it usually a quieter, just more personal thing, or do you have speaking engagements or what?
It's tapered over the years. I think most people prefer to have it be quiet.
Has it become less vivid over 14 years?
It's become more dormant. You can bring it back in all its vividness when you start speaking about it or sharing with other folks. It's just not as all present as it was, obviously in the first few years afterwards.
9/11 was the largest civilian casualty emergency in U.S. history. How was it a learning moment for your entire industry, your entire business, emergency medicine? Were changes made in emergency medicine because of 9/11?
I think so. I think a lot of dogma was challenged, specifically, for instance, treating people at the scene as a bad idea, that evacuation is the most life-saving thing you can do. The miracle of 9/11 is that 99% of the people below the tower's impact sites survived, that the transit police, the fire department, all the rescue workers who got people out of those buildings are the true heroes. They saved thousands of lives by getting people away from the disaster site.
I'm wondering what it's like with your colleagues who were there 14 years ago and you on 9/11. I mean, there must be some exchange between you and the people who are still. How many people do you still work with on a daily basis who were there 14 years ago?
A couple of dozen. It's still a fair amount.
Still quite a few.
Yeah, still quite a few.
Quite a few. What is that day like for you as a group?
I think it's a checking in with each other to acknowledge what we went through and to realize that we've been strong comrades ever since, that we'll always have each other's backs, that there is a trust that nobody can ever challenge.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us here today. You're a long way from home, and you're part of a Sparrow Foundation event here later today, and we appreciate you joining us an awful lot. We've been talking with Dr. Tony Daher, Director of Emergency Medicine at New York Presbyterian Lower Manhattan Hospital. Dr. Daher is the keynote speaker at the Sparrow Foundation's annual Kaleidoscope Conference at the Kellogg Center at Michigan State University. Continued success. Thank you for your service, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.